WSJM News Now. This is the 5 o'clock news block on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Brought to you by Special Light in Decatur and Benton Harbor. There's a good chance you've walked through a Special Light door when you go to a local restaurant, school, store, or plant. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. Fewer than 8 weeks from Election Day and a record number of absentee ballot requests have already been received around Michigan at 2.1 million. According to Secretary of State spokesperson Jake Rallo, the day after the August 4th primary, there were 400,000 requests.
That's more than have ever been requested in any Michigan election. So that's more not just at the eight-week mark, but more than final number in any Michigan election.
The Secretary of State's office is predicting 60 to 70% of the vote will be via absentee ballot. Officials say if you're mailing it in, do so before October 19th. That's 2 weeks before Election Day. Otherwise, drop your ballot off at your clerk's ballot drop box. You can find out more at michigan.gov/vote. Michigan is reporting 1,313 additional cases of COVID-19 for Friday. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services says there's been a total of 110,832 cases of the illness in the state since the pandemic started. The state reports 9 additional deaths for Friday, bringing that total to 6,578. For the day, Berrien County reported 17 additional cases for a total of 1,531 with 72 deaths. Cass County had 10 new cases for the day for a total of 420 with 16 deaths. Van Buren County reported 8 additional cases for Friday for a total of 616 cases and 14 deaths. Frontline workers who do not have college degrees or high school diplomas can now work toward an associate degree or a GED for free, thanks to a program announced by the governor on Thursday. Within hours of that announcement, Lake Michigan College was accepting applications from those who want to pursue a higher education through the Futures for Frontliners program. LMC Vice President of Student Affairs Nigel Likely tells us the system to verify an applicant has been a frontline worker through the COVID pandemic is already set up.
The state will be responsible for determining eligibility, and at that time they'll indicate on their application that they would like to attend LMC. That information will be transmitted over to LMC's student services area, and then we will work with the student from there.
Likely says the program could mean big savings for someone who's looking for a better life.
For an associate's degree, you may be looking upwards about $14,000 for an associate's degree. It varies by person depending on their need.
LMC says that essential workers in Michigan without a college degree or a high school equivalency who worked at least half-time in 11 of 13 weeks from April 1st through June 30th are eligible for the program. They're taking applications through the end of the year. Likely says the college is already hearing from workers who are interested. The Berrien County Health Department is advising everyone to get their flu vaccine as the weather cools. Spokesperson Jillian Conrad tells us they tell everyone to get the flu shot every year, but COVID-19 makes it all the more important this year that fewer people get the flu.
We want to make sure that our healthcare system can manage all of the illness that people are experiencing, whether it's coronavirus, flu, or otherwise. We don't want our hospital systems to be overwhelmed.
Conrad says the flu vaccine is inexpensive, and in cases where it does not prevent the flu, it at least lessens the severity of the case. You can start getting the vaccine now.
Most of the area pharmacies have flu vaccine in stock right now, both the regular flu vaccine and the high-dose flu vaccine that is recommended for seniors.
Conrad says you can also call your doctor's office to ask. The Berrien County Health Department will announce some flu shot clinics in the coming weeks. The Southwest Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force and Spectrum Health Lakeland are holding an online forum this month on human trafficking. It'll be free and will include tools and steps to help people engage with victims. Participants will hear from keynote speakers Andy Soper, the Director of Education at Measurable Change, and Kelly Carter, the Assistant Attorney General in the Criminal Division of the Michigan Department of the Attorney General. And breakout sessions will be held following the opening speakers, focused on information for parents, educators, community members, police, and child protective services. More information on the upcoming forum can be found at spectrumhealthlakeland.org/human-trafficking. We also have a link to that at WSJM.com. Legislation intended to help protect police officers and their families from harassment, or worse, has been introduced in the Michigan House by State Representative Beth Griffin of Matawan. She said today the bills would make it illegal to publish the personal information of a police officer online with the intent that they be harassed.
Please take a moment today to reflect who we are as Americans and also to take a moment to thank first responders wherever they are, whether they're sitting next to you on the couch and, or whether it's a father or a grandfather or a neighbor down the street. Please let them know today how much they are truly appreciated and how much we thank them for standing for law and order.
That's Griffin speaking at the annual September 11th commemoration in front of the state capitol today. Griffin says that police have been put at risk by the very modern form of harassment known as doxing. And the Cook Nuclear Power Plant near Bridgman will be testing its 70 emergency sirens in the coming weeks. Cook Plant spokesperson Bill Downey tells us this is the annual fall test, which is not the same as the other tests done each year.
One siren at a time. It's different than our spring tests, which all the sirens are done at one time for a longer period of about 3 minutes, which is different than the monthly test of 1 minute or less.
Downey says each individual siren will be sounded for about 30 seconds or a little longer while technicians physically at the siren site make sure all is in working order. The test will be done Monday, this coming Monday, through Friday between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. They'll continue for the next 3 weeks. In the event of severe weather, the testing will be suspended to avoid confusion. WSJM News Now continues with your Bloomberg report. WSJM News Now continues. Dueling ceremonies in New York today marked 19 years since the September 11th terrorist attacks. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
The tolling of bells marked a passenger plane's impact with the World Trade Center and when the towers fell 19 years ago.
John J. Corcoran III.
The pandemic meant the recitation of names of the 2,753 victims was recorded at the official commemoration.
Daniel Raymond Brandhurst.
And read in person at an alternate ceremony nearby.
Isn't it just that we read their names out loud?
The remembrance of one unimaginable event altered by another. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
President Trump today bestowing the Medal of Honor on a U.S. soldier for his role in a daring 2015 mission to rescue dozens of hostages set to be executed by Islamic State militants in Iraq. Sergeant Major Thomas Patrick Payne was assigned to lead a team clearing one of two buildings known to house hostages in a nighttime operation in a northern province. Payne and his team faced a barrage of machine gun fire, militants exploding suicide vests, and stifling smoke as they rescued hostages from a burning building. He was initially given the Army's second highest award, the Distinguished Service Cross, which was upgraded to a Medal of Honor. Joe Biden's running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, spoke this morning in Fairfax, Virginia, near the site of the attack on the Pentagon 19 years ago. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more.
Senator Kamala Harris taking a pause from the campaign trail to commemorate the 19th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Speaking to a crowd of roughly 50 people in Fairfax, Virginia, Harris honored the nearly 3,000 American lives lost that day.
We remember that they were more than victims of an unspeakable act. They were also parents and sons and daughters and neighbors and friends.
Elizabeth Schulze, ABC News, Washington.
Nine protesters have been issued trespassing summonses for marching onto a private St. Louis street in June, a demonstration that prompted a couple to emerge from their home with guns to confront the demonstrators. Mark and Patricia McCloskey were both charged in July with unlawful use of a weapon in a polarizing case that landed them at a spot at the Republican National Convention last month. A police spokesperson confirms nine protesters have been issued summonses, but says the St. Louis City Councilor's office is still deciding whether to issue charges. The protest's leader called it an attempt to intimidate peaceful protesters. Four former Minneapolis police officers appeared in court today as they await trial on charges for the murder of George Floyd. ABC's Ryan Burrow has more.
Family members of George Floyd were in the courtroom, along with the four former Minneapolis police officers. A judge hearing motions for a possible change in venue, keeping jurors anonymous, and whether to try the officers together or separately. Floyd's brother Terrence afterwards saying if they weren't police officers, it would be an open and shut case.
If you do the crime, you do the time. So why is it different for these guys? It shouldn't be different.
The judge has not ruled on the court motions. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
A federal appeals court has ruled that Florida felons must pay all fines, restitution, and legal fees before they can regain their right to vote. The order today reverses a lower court judge's decision that gave Florida felons the right to vote regardless of outstanding financial obligations. The ruling disappoints voting rights activists and could have national implications in November's presidential election. Florida is considered a must-win state in President Donald Trump's bid for re-election. Florida's disenfranchised felons represent a significant block in a state well known for razor-thin election margins. Democrats had hoped for an advantage among former felon voters. President Trump today welcomed a new diplomatic agreement in the Middle East in which the U.S. played a key role in developing. ABC's Karen Travers has more from Washington.
President Trump announced Friday that Bahrain will normalize diplomatic relations with Israel. The president called this, quote, a historic breakthrough to further peace in the Middle East.
The sand was loaded up with blood, and now you're going to see that a lot of that sand is going to be loaded up with peace.
The Israel-Bahrain announcement comes on the heels of the U.S. brokered agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates to establish full diplomatic relations on the condition that Israel commit to not annexing parts of the West Bank. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
The Treasury Department says the U.S. budget deficit hit an all-time high of $3 trillion for the first month, 11 months of this budget year. The ocean of red ink is a product of the government's massive spending to try to cushion the impact of coronavirus-fueled recession that's cost millions of jobs. The deficit from October through August was more than double the previous 11-month record of $1.37 billion set in 2009. At that time, the government was spending large sums to get out of the Great Recession triggered by the 2008 financial crisis. At least 17 people are now known to be dead of the wildfires that have been ripping through western communities around California Tuesday and Wednesday. 10 of the dead are in California's Butte County. ABC's Alex Stone has more from California.
When the flames were bearing down on Sandy Butler's home in Butte County on Tuesday, she called her son to say she and her husband were trapped and would jump a fence and take refuge in a pond. Nobody has heard from the Butlers since. The flames were moving faster than humans could run, walls of towering flames. Now the grim work is underway to find human remains inside burned-out homes and cars. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And another blockbuster film is getting its release date delayed because of the pandemic. More now from ABC's Matt Wolf in New York.
The time will come, Diana.
And now it looks like Christmas Day. Warner Brothers announcing Wonder Woman 1984 will open December 25th, up from October 2nd. It's the fourth time the movie has been moved thanks to COVID-19.
Get used to it.
Gal Gadot returning as the Amazon princess, along with Kristen Wiig as the villain Cheetah.
Well, now it's my turn.
The original Wonder Woman grossing over $821 million worldwide when it was released back in 2017. Matt Wolf, ABC News.
WSJM News now continues with your weather forecast.